scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, it looks corner to Aguilla. Aguilla left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, let's get to it as we are underway on this Friday, September 23rd, coming at you from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Steinberg and Aaron Vickers from Daily Hive with you on this Friday on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. Happy Friday. Day two of Flames training camp on the ice is in the books. Everything is wrapped up, and we've now got 2 days of line combinations and defense pairings and pretty high-intensity practices behind us. Each day there have been three groups on the ice. The groups were the same on Thursday and Friday. Let's first of all go through the lines and pairings once again. No changes from day one, but they look like this. If you didn't catch the day one lines from Thursday, they were the same on this Friday. Lindholm between Huberdeau and Toffoli is kind of your top line right now. Kadri still with Cody Eakin and Sonny Milano. Eakin on the left, Milano on the right. Michael Backlund centering Dylan Dubé on the left and Blake Coleman on the right. Kevin Rooney between Milan Lucic and Brett Ritchie. And finally, Adam Rzyczka is playing between Martin Pospisil and Trevor Lewis on the back. Uyghur with Tanev, Hanifin with Anderson, Zadorov with Milosh, and Valimaki with Stone. Same as what we saw on Thursday, what we saw here on this Friday. Saturday, controlled scrimmage. They're going to rejig the groups and kind of do two team groups and do a controlled scrimmage. And then that first preseason game is a split squad affair on Sunday. The times are 5 o'clock Calgary time for the game in Vancouver and 6 o'clock Calgary time for the game here at the Dome. So 5 o'clock for the Vancouver game, 6 o'clock for the other side of the split squad here at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. Just your impression so far of 2 days of on-ice sessions, 2 days of practices, 2 days of media sessions. Just what have you taken away from the first 2 days of 2022 training camp?
Yeah, I think we've seen a little bit of ramp up in tempo from yesterday to today. As you mentioned, you ran through the lines. They're the same. The pairs are the same. We know who the goalies are going to be. So I'm pretty excited to get to tomorrow's what we assume to be, what we project to be a scrimmage, a split squad scrimmage, like you said, before we get into split squad preseason NHL action with the Vancouver Canucks. I'm not a big practice guy, Pat. I'm a big game guy. So now that we're going to get to a scrimmage on day three, let's get right into it. Day four features two games. I'm ready to go.
I'm a practice guy only because I'm really interested. I like line combinations.
You know what? Hockey games have line combinations.
They do. They do.
And they might fluctuate from shift to shift.
That is true.
And I'm actually curious to see how the team is split up tomorrow. Obviously, you're going to have one travel group that's going to be designed to go to Vancouver. You're going to have one travel group that's or non-travel group, pardon me, that's designed to stay here. I'm just curious to see who goes to Vancouver, who stays here. I'm going to assume the line combinations from group one and line combinations from group two stay relatively the same. And
but
we're just going to see those groups flipped up.
Yeah.
We're not going to see an NHL group go all the way to Vancouver, already stay here. You do have the veteran minimum you have to be aware of when playing in preseason games. I believe
yes.
It's 8. So we will see what I assume to be 2 top lines here, 2 other lines that are NHL sort of ready lines in Vancouver, and then we'll see 2 lines each of prospects and bubble players competing it out.
And I would expect for some changes in the defense pairings as well, because Tanev's not going to play on
no.
Sunday.
And so. Even up front, you have Nazem Kadri, who's not going to play. Andrew Mangiapane
right.
hasn't skated with the main group. He's not going to play.
So I wonder if those two guys even go in the scrimmage on Saturday. I honestly don't know if that's what we see.
I wouldn't imagine so, just from everything that we've heard from Daryl Sutter, what we heard from Brad Treliving on, I believe, what is that now, Wednesday? Time
yep.
flies when you're in camp. I wouldn't expect to see those guys even participate in the scrimmages, because you do want your scrimmages to be high intense. You don't want them to just be a feeling out process. You've got guys here that are trying to make a spot on this team. You've got guys here in camp that are trying to earn NHL contracts. You've got guys in here that are trying to leave an impression. So it shouldn't be a dip a toe into the water situation.
Mm-hmm.
This should be a full go intra-squad scrimmage tomorrow.
I'm with you. I do think from Thursday to Friday, day one to day two, there's has been a little bit of a ramp up, probably by design. I'm going to try to say that. I will tell that story at some point. Maybe even on this Friday, I'll tell the story about by design.
Do you have the clip?
Nope. And I've made sure that clip has been burnt and will never see the light of day. Wes Gilbertson.
Should we?
Wes Gilbertson may still have it somewhere, but
should we act it out? Like I'll be Glenn Gulletson, you be Pat Steinberg.
We can do it another. You know what? Probably not. Probably because you gotta really describe the facial expressions. Anyway, we'll get to that maybe later on this hour. The biggest observation that I've had, and maybe it's recency bias, and maybe it's also confirmation bias, in that I'm buzzing about this season. I'm buzzing about this camp, and so I wonder if because of that, I'm also saying, well, the buzz around this camp, you know what I'm saying? Like, because I'm excited for it, if it's easier to say, oh, well, there's a different buzz around it. Maybe I'm not reading it 100%. Maybe other people would look at it differently, but I don't know. I mean, it does feel like when you talk to different members of the Flames, when you see them interacting on the ice, when you talk to people away from the mic, when you talk to people off the record, it just feels like there is a little bit of a different buzz around this team, around this camp, and I feel like it's translated to the on-ice sessions. I feel like it's translated to just the overall demeanors. Maybe it's because we're back having access that we haven't had for 2 years during a worldwide pandemic. I don't know, but I definitely have noticed that it feels like there's a little bit more excitement, there's a little bit more buzz, there's a little bit more oomph to this year's training camp.
I think that there are several factors that go into that. First of all, you're absolutely right. As much as I'm going to try to find something to disagree with for today.
We will get there later.
But you're right. The buzz is a little bit different. It's a little bit amplified. Part of that is the expectation is higher of this group, especially with what they were able to do last year in terms of winning the Pacific Division, winning a round, not ultimately getting to where they want to go. But if you look at this team compared to last year, I'm in the camp that this is a better team this season than the Calgary Flames were last year. And I always go back to, you build from goalie, defense, center out. That's how you build championship caliber teams. And they're returning the same goalie who was a Vezina candidate. They're deeper on defense. They're deeper down the middle. And maybe it does go back to access a little bit. And I've had some on-the-record conversations with some members of the Calgary Flames through camp. I've had some off-the-record conversations with members of the Calgary Flames through this camp. And you just get a sense that they're, as much as we want to get into games and preseason games, I'm pretty certain they want to jump right to the regular season because there is that tangible feel that this team could do something special this year.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, even the head coach has been, you know, it's been some good quotes. I think he looks at this group and thinks that he's got a pretty good team and a team that he can work with and elevate and get to some new spots. We'll see. There has not been a puck dropped even in an intra-squad scrimmage as of yet, but that's some of the early observations. This hour, we'll really dive in on some of the blue line conversations. You know, the Uyghur-Tanev pairing is fascinating to me. Tanev's status for the start of the regular season continues to, at least what we're told, trend in a positive direction. And what about some of the open spots potentially on this blue line with Oliver Shillington not being at camp, at least in the early going? All that as this hour continues. But right now, let's check in. Head coach Daryl Sutter as day two of training camp wrapped up. It's always good to hear from Daryl, especially early in the season. You got to hear from the head coach. It's time to check in with head coach Daryl Sutter. He starts, if you're wondering, Eric Francis is going to ask the first question here. Dylan Dubé won fitness testing for 2022 for the second consecutive year, and that's where things started with the head coach.
Daryl, can I just ask you about Dylan Dubé winning fitness testing?
Yeah, I think he's getting pretty good at that. Thanks. Seen his name in there just about every year he's been here, I think, either in the young group or he's still the leader of the young group. But, you know, that's kind of a broad subject, right? The fitness testing, because there's a lot of different tests, so there's a lot of high-end guys.
But that's something you really wanted this group to focus on since the day you got here, and they've responded as a group, have they?
Yeah, I think we're significantly better than last year, and last year was significantly better than the year before.
Do
good to see a couple of veterans like Trevor Lewis and Backlund up high in the next 2A.
Yeah, there's a lot of veterans are up there. It's not about Dylan or Michael or Trevor. I mean, that gauge or that rating is like that much more than somebody else. So you just, that's how close you want it. You don't want guys way down there.
Daryl, when you're somebody like Dylan, who's now been like part of your program for a year and a half, should this kind of be a year where you see another step from a player like him?
Yeah, I think Dylan, him and I have talked about it, his probably February on and then playoffs, Dylan's a really good player for us. So that's what he takes now. Right? He's a versatile kid, and he's a guy that's, you know, just as he gets a little bit older, the whole preparation part, the maturity part of his game, everything takes another step, and that's what you want. It's as I've been saying, that those are the key guys for our team. It's not the, we're not going back to where it was 2 or 3 years ago where all they talked about was individuals and you never, and stars, right? You have to see improvement from those players as they go forward.
Could he fill that role on that second line right winger spot that seems to be open right now?
Yeah, I don't know if it's open. I think once we get everybody back, we know pretty much where it is. It's only open to outside. It's as it, you know what Eric Dylan is can play. You know, I think he's a better left winger than a right winger, but he's also played center and junior, which. You know, you always, it's easy for a coach to fall back, and that's where we've moved with Dylan, too. If you look at it, every time that we pushed him all over the lineup. So, you know, I don't think there's much difference between our 2, 3, 4 lines, quite honest. So, where he plays in there is just how other guys are doing, I think. I think Dylan is, you know, I'm comfortable playing him anywhere. You know, we moved him into penalty killing last year, things like that. You just keep trying to get him to keep pushing forward a little.
Over the years, and you've done camps forever in different ways, different times. Do you like where it is now with kind of coming in, testing 3 days and however many preseason games? Or
yeah, I always break it. This year's camp would be different probably than prior camps, just that. You know, you play 5 games in the first, was it 9 days? So, you know what, that's sort of, to me, our camp's broken into 3 different divisions. It's the 5 and 9, and I think it's 3 and 7, and then 5 days till we start the season. So the first 5 will end, you know, you're moving guys around and, you know, giving guys opportunities, things like that, and then you'll probably, by October 1st, then you're pushing more into trying to get some continuity in your group.
Now, from the outside looking in, it doesn't look like there are a lot of open spots on this team. So how important is internal competition, and are you happy with the amount of that you have?
Well, I wouldn't say open spots. I mean, it's pretty easy to count contracts. But in terms of who plays where is way more important than that.
How's Andrew Mangiapane progressing?
Andrew Mangiapane is progressing nicely.
To him about things he can be working on and what you want to see from him even when he's not skating with group number one?
He's skating. He's probably working as hard as anybody else in the group, just he's not doing it with the others. So, you know, tomorrow he'll go with some players, and the next day he'll go with a full group. We'll just keep progressing them. And as I said, he's not involved in the game part of the first of that 5 game part, but he'll be involved.
How do you view the strength of your blue line? You have some returning guys. You got obviously McKenzie in there, but what is the strength of your blue line?
I think we'll find out as we go here. Again, it's about partners, and it's about who can play where. I mean, it's you know what, you need minute munchers. You want to make the playoffs. You want to move on. Once you get the playoffs, stretch series out. It's about guys who eat minutes. It's not about anything other than that. I think that showed up when. You look in the playoffs, just put it this way, in the playoffs last year, Tanny gets hurt, and Oliver and Z both played with significant injuries. So, you know what, we swallowed hard. So the guys we put in, you know, we got through 7, against Dallas, but the next part we couldn't because you can say what you want. I was centerman in that position was an issue for us.
McKenzie said, you know, just yesterday you talked about some of the differences between the style of play in the East and the West, and yep. He said it was kind of more of a run-and-gun type of game out there and a little more systems-based here. Do you think that's a pretty accurate assessment?
Yeah, I think it would depend what team you played on. I think I certainly wouldn't call Tampa Bay a run-and-gun team, but maybe Florida was.
Some depth on defense. You also have some good young defensemen. For a player like Yuso, yeah. What do you want to see from him as he tries to take a step forward this year?
Take some responsibility in this 200-foot game for sure. I think that's another player that was put in a position too early. And he's had to learn and adjust, and hopefully he's made some strides in it. We'll see. I mean, based on performance, nothing else.
Yesterday, you weren't expecting to see anything special from Jacques Pelletier, but I still would like to know.
Well, that gentleman who asked that question asked the question in a way that the player has to do something special.
Right.
Well, he doesn't have to do nothing special. He's just got to go play his game.
Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, it's not that he's no more special than anybody else. I mean, he'll get an opportunity in these first five games, and hopefully, hey, he's a great, you know, he's a confident, great kid, right? So you want him to do well.
Okay, that's my question.
What is it about Michael Stone where just when you think it might be the end of the road for him, he's just right back in there?
Yeah, he's here on the tryout. You know, he'd be no different than anybody from the kids you're talking about. I mean, there's only so many spots on defense. You're not carrying eight or nine defensemen. So there's, you know, right now without Oliver and Tanny's late in camp, and so, you know, there's a mix of guys. It's the top end of it has to be really good players for it, and then there's a real competition after that.
Is it safe to say that this organization is a place where young players aren't going to be gifted an opportunity? They're going to have to basically steal a job from someone to get it?
Yeah, I don't think steal is the right word. I think that there is when you're not picking in right at the top end of the draft for last few years, you're not getting guys that come in out of junior or come in out of college or come in after 1 year of the American League. It takes their kids, and they need time. And if you rush them too soon, then a lot of times they're losing their careers or they're losing NHL positions.
Your group here obviously had a playoff appearance last year. I know the gang down in Stockton, third, some very key young players were on that group. What can a long playoff run in the AHL do for some of these guys who are coming into this camp and trying to make a claim for a
I don't think it doesn't matter what league you're playing in. The longer you can play, the better it is for you. I think that the playoffs are a different animal altogether. So, you know, they had a really good year, but they've had a big turnover too. So you're looking at you still need that character and leadership, that sort of thing. But then you're looking for the younger players to take a step. And, you know, just looking at it from an overview, I mean, just for example, who would their best player have been last year? Dustin Wolf. So Dustin Wolf is one of those boys that's evolving, right? He's had a great year. He's having a good camp. Just continue to pursue your dream and work at your career. So there's no shortcuts to it.
It's the head coach, Daryl Sutter, on day two of training camp here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. As we continue along, it's Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers from Daily Hive. You can get Flames Talk wherever you get your podcasts. Go hit subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, and Amazon.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's Hockey Station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Continuing along on this Friday with Aaron Vickers of Daily Hive, my name is Pat Steinberg. We're coming at you from the Scotiabank Saddledome. Hopefully your Friday is going along nicely. Let's talk about this blue line, Vixie. We wanted to on Thursday's show, but didn't get an opportunity because, you know what, you're just such a good conversationalist about other things that we got into other things. So let's start by talking about Mackenzie Weegar, who is now officially a member of the Calgary Flames, who is now officially gotten into two practices as a member of the Calgary Flames. He's playing the left side despite being a right shot. That is not new for him. He did it basically all last season on a D pairing with Aaron Ekblad. He's got plenty of time playing his offside. And he's playing through 2 days on a pairing with Chris Tanev. And I really like the idea of that pairing. I don't think we're going to see a lot of it in game action in the early stages just because Tanev's not going to play, we don't expect, for a good chunk of the preseason as he continues to come back from his offseason surgery. But boy, do I, if Tanev's good to go for game one on October 13th, which everything seems to be pointing in that direction, that could be one of the best all-round defense pairings in the NHL. Because, look, you go take a look at the metrics. Shillington-Tanev was one of the best defense pairings in the NHL last season. And now you put, and this is like, Mackenzie Weegar is a guy that a lot of people believe is a bona fide top pair guy, and he's without question a bona fide top four guy. Like, that could be an upgrade on what Shillington and Tanev was last year. And that's not a knock on Oliver at all, because Oliver had a great year. Since you bring in another player, and like, that could be an absolute powerhouse duo for the team this year.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm willing or ready to anoint them as one of the top five pairs in the NHL, but certainly putting Mackenzie Weegar and Chris Tanev together, that is a excellent start for the Calgary Flames. I'm very curious to see how much of Mackenzie Weegar's offensive potential can be unlocked by Chris Tanev. And Chris Tanev, safety blanket. Anybody that Chris Tanev's paired with automatically has that reassurance that if something should happen to go wrong on a pinch, or if you're driving up ice to be the fourth man in on the rush, Chris Tanev is back there to take care of business. And just seeing what Mackenzie Weegar can do a little bit more when he's, I don't want to say unshackled, because I don't think you're necessarily shackled by having a guy like Aaron Ekblad as your defense partner. But I'm just curious what the offensive potential is for Weegar. He had 44 points in 80 games last year, mm-hmm. and that's only averaging 40 seconds of power play time a game. He had 3 power play points last season. So all of the damage that he did during the regular season on one of the top teams in the NHL, undisputedly, was produced at 5-on-5. So I'm curious if you can take some more defensive responsibility out of his game. Not that you're worried about whether or not he's being super defensive or super offensive, but just by nature of having Chris Tanev there, I'd be curious to see how much more offensive potential can be unlocked in Mackenzie Weegar.
And I don't know, like, is that 44 points rather in 80 games? That's pretty solid for a blue liner. Like, that's pretty high scoring defenseman. How much more is there? Is he a 50 point guy? Is he a 60 point defense? I don't know. And that was a career year for him. However, in the year before, he was kind of on pace for even higher than he put up last. So I'd be really, and that's Chris Tanev has a history, and I don't think Weegar's the type of guy that he's not Quinn Hughes. He's not Oliver Shillington, younger defenseman that needs a veteran to elevate him. I mean, Weegar and Tanev are only a few years apart, but I just wonder, you use the term safety blanket or security blanket. Yeah, we're going to hear from Mackenzie in just seconds, and even him talking about playing with Chris, you can tell it's like, geez, that is easy to do. I've asked Michael Stone about it. I've asked Oliver Shillington about it. It's like he's just like one of the easiest guys to play with in the NHL because, you know, in a relationship, sometimes it's bad to be predictable, but Chris Tanev might be the most predictable defenseman in the NHL in a good way, in that it's like he always makes the right play. And it does not matter how much duress he's under, doesn't matter how difficult the outlet is or how quick the read needs to be made or who's bearing down on him in the corner or how much space he has to maneuver in, the right play is made, the right chip, the right outlet. Sometimes it's better to pause and backtrack to get the puck out. Sometimes it's better to go, you know, soft chip off the half board. Like, it's always the right play. He's always in position. He's always there for the outlet pass. He's always there for the safety pass. And that, and when we hear from McKenzie in just a second, you're going to pick that up. He really is as reliable and predictable as it gets for a fellow D partner.
Mr. Dependable is how I would sort of go about describing Christopher Tanev, and one of arguably, I mean, for me, one of the best pure defensive defensemen. And that's not to say he's an anchor from the red line going forward. Excellent outlet passes, like you mentioned. You ran through the list, you know, either chipping it out safely, outlet passes, moving the puck, retrieving the puck. There's not much that Chris Tanev doesn't do on his side of the ice. And that, regardless of if it's Mackenzie Weegar, if we're looking at a situation where it's Noah Hanifin, if it goes back to Oliver Shillington at some point, doesn't matter who that partner is. You know exactly what you're going to get out of Chris Tanev, and that's got to be a comfortable feeling for his partner.
For the first time after a practice, for the first time at the Scotiabank Saddledome, Mackenzie Weegar spoke to the media following day two of training camp here at the Scotiabank Saddledome.
A couple of days under your belt here. How's it going so far from your vantage point on the ice?
Yeah, it's great. Lots of excitement. You know, it's an older group, so I think right away we're kind of snapping around. The execution's there, the pace is there, so it's been a good couple of days.
What's the biggest adjustment for you? I mean, this is not new camps, this thing, but it is kind of a new feeling overall for you. So what is the biggest adjustment as you get used to Daryl and new teammates?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the biggest thing probably for me is just, you know, trying to fit in and, you know, make guys know that I'm here, I'm committed, and, you know, I want to win with these guys. So I think that's probably the biggest adjustment. Other than that, you know, I think it's just playing with, you know, new guys, trying to see some chemistry and, you know, just talking to them and getting to know these guys a little bit more.
What do you notice about playing with a guy like Chris Tanev? I know it's early, but yeah. The reality is you two could be a pretty good pairing.
Yeah, it's been really easy. I mean, that practice there, I don't think I broke the puck out one time. So he's easy to play with, you know, great guy, easy to get along with, and a guy you want to play really good for.
You don't see Chris, I mean, previously you haven't seen him too much during the regular season. Are there any tendencies you've noticed of his that you didn't before?
Yeah, he's got a great stick. He's always in the right spot. You know, he jumps up in the play. You know, he wants to lead the rush sometimes, and then he gets back and he defends the rush really well. So, you know, I didn't get to see him a lot, but he's easy to play with, and I'm looking forward to continuing that with him.
Daryl touched on it yesterday, just the idea of, you know, going from the east, coming out west, and again, we all know it's early, but do you notice some of those differences right away for the fact that you haven't played with these guys or haven't seen a lot of them, even as opposition?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe the biggest difference from the west to the east is maybe a little bit more defensive, you know, maybe a little bit heavier. We were a lot of, you know, run and gun out in the east, lots of high-scoring games. Here I think it's, you know, D-zone's a big factor. You know, systems are a big key here. You know, that's probably the biggest difference so far.
Coming off a career season, I mean, where do you want to take your game this year?
You know, I want to keep having career years for as long as I can. Keep getting better. I feel great. You know, I came to camp feeling really good. You know, my fitness testing was, you know, I felt good in that. It was really good, and I'm happy with that. So, you know, that's just a confidence booster for me to, you know, feel good on the ice and get better and better. And, you know, I want to have another career year. So I just, and I think I can do it with this team.
Jonathan said yesterday that it was nice to kind of get on the ice because all summer everybody was talking about the trade. Mm-hmm. And now it's kind of like, okay, now it's business. Do you get that same feeling as well?
Yeah. I think for him and I, you know, that was the first question we got asked a lot. And, you know, rightly so, it was a big trade. But now it's nice to, you know, all business here, and we can finally get going with the team and, you know, answer some different questions.
Any extension update you wanted to shut for us
today? We're still trying. And like I said last time, hopefully it happens soon.
Clear up to you. You really have a preference about left side or right side? Or?
No, I mean, you know, my whole career has just kind of been adapting to what's been given to me. And if they want me on the right side, I'll adapt to that. If they want me on the left, I'll adapt to that. And wherever coach wants me, I'll play.
Any other welcome to Calgary moments now that you've been here for a few weeks, or interactions with fans that stood out? Right?
No, not. You know what, to be honest, since training camp, I've kind of just been, you know, kind of just been in the house resting, and I haven't been out doing much, but I'm sure when I get out there a little bit more, there'll be lots of more fan interactions and lots more positivity, and that's what it's all about.
Is there anyone on the
scrum you've ever been in?
Yeah, I was just, like I said before this, I thought it was already playoffs.
Is anyone on the team who's kind of gone out of their way to make you kind of feel at home outside of the ring?
Yeah, Tanny. Tanny's been great. You know, he's been a real leader. He makes it a lot more comfortable for me here, you know, picking me up, you know, to get to places where I wouldn't really know where to go. So that helps a lot. And then, you know, Luch and, you know, Hanifin and You know, everyone's been really good. They make everything really easy and simple. And, you know, it's been a great group so far, and I'm happy to be joining this team.
How has the team actually gone about making you and Nazem and Jonathan, some of the other new guys, more comfortable in their new surroundings here?
You know, just kind of, you know, making us feel comfortable, you know, keeping us in the loop, you know, if we're doing something, you know, they'll include us there. And just, you know, just the communication, I think, is the biggest thing. And, you know, making us feel wanted, which is huge. And they've gone out of their way and making us feel really wanted. So that's probably the biggest thing to make us feel comfortable here.
Mackenzie, it seems like the last 3 years in particular, every year you continue to take another step. Has it been experience? Has it been confidence? What would you attribute your growth to?
Yeah, I think it is experience. It's I think more comfortability and confidence is big. You know, when you get put into those big roles, you really want to succeed, and you don't want, you know, those minutes to diminish at all. And you know, I want to play great for my teammates, and you know, when you want to play great for your teammates, I think you have a lot of success on the ice, and that's usually what I try to do.
It's a long time since, you know, you were drafted where you were drafted. Do you still kind of, in a sense, carry that with you in terms of, you know, what you've been able to do coming out of that spot to where you've arrived at now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest lesson I learned, you know, when I was younger was that, you know, you don't take any days in the NHL for granted, and that's always kind of stuck with me. You know, I always feel, you know, if I have a bad game, you know, it might get taken away from me, and that's the scariest thought you could have. So just keeping that in the back of my mind has been always there, and you know, I always just want to, you know, keep improving and keep playing well.
That is Mackenzie Weegar, now a member of the Calgary Flames, on a pairing with Chris Tanev so far in camp. Seems fired up to be here. Seems genuinely fired up and is enjoying playing on a pairing with Tanev. I don't know. It's day two of camp. It's only 2 days in. I have no idea what the odds are that those two will be together on night one of the regular season here against Colorado, but I think at the very least there's decent odds on it. I think at the very least there's a decent possibility that's what we end up seeing.
More likely than not at this point, I would suggest. And you heard Mackenzie Weegar talk there about the on-ice chemistry that's building between he and Tanev, and a little bit about the off-ice chemistry that's building between the pair as well, talking about how Tanev's taken him to places he might not have noticed in Calgary, you know, whether it's being out for dinner or just out in certain spots. That process of building trust in your partner happens both on the ice and off the ice. And those two are on their way to developing that. And what the Calgary Flames have to hope is their top pairing this year.
He did give the still trying answer on contract extension updates, which, I mean, at this point, until there's something, it's probably going to be the same answer. Yeah, trying, like to get it. I think it's going to get done. I think that will end up getting signed at some point. This is, by the way, what the GM told me earlier this week when he joined us exclusively on Flames Talk.
We've been having some real healthy discussions with his representative, Matt Ebbs, and, you know, we just keep grinding away at it. But certainly is, that's our goal. Our goal is to get it to a good conclusion. We're not there yet, and these things take time. But we've had real good discussion, and we'll see where it goes.
It's going to get done, right? Like I don't really think there's much concern about whether or not that's going to happen. I've said in the past, like, yeah, take it to the bank. This thing will get done at some point. Everything that I'm led to believe is yeah, this will get done. It's not done this instant, but they continue working towards getting something done.
Here, I thought you were about to break news live on a Friday afternoon. I'm just kidding. But it's certainly the talk, the conversation from both Brad Treliving and Mackenzie Weegar is positive. It's not, I'm not going to talk about my contract situation in season, even though we're technically still in preseason, or not even preseason yet.
No, but Austin Matthews gave the, I'll talk about this once and then I'm not talking about it again. Johnny Gaudreau did the same thing a year ago.
Yep. And here we are. Both sides are talking. They're talking openly with the media. They're talking, obviously, with each other to get something done. I would be surprised if this lasted longer than, you know, the rest of the preseason, yep. Pardon me, this will get done before the start of the regular season in my mind.
So Chris Tanev is taking part in training camp. He's been on the ice since day one and will continue to be a part of the practices and going through the systems, but it's going to be a while until number eight gets into some games in the preseason because he is still coming off the offseason shoulder surgery, has not been cleared for full contact as of yet. That is still working its way through. He has been on a deep pairing with Weegar, though, throughout camp. Let's hear from Chris as he spoke to us on this Friday after day two of camp as well.
Chris, everything's probably pretty new, but not new for you in terms of camp and maybe even new D partners. But what's it, what have you noticed about a guy like McKenzie Goodoo?
Yeah, Weegs skates very well, moves the puck well. Obviously, he had a great year last year on a good team, and I think he's going to bring a lot to our D group.
Still lots of time to go, but if it is that pairing, I mean, that looks like a pretty good shutdown pairing. Would you look at it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we play together, we'll complement each other. It's still early in camp, so I mean, you get to know people and get to know how they play and where they are in certain situations. But yeah, that comes with just getting out there together and playing together.
How does it feel for you being back, and given what your summer looked like and probably felt like, how does it feel out there now?
Feels good. It's great to be back. I think it's important to be in camp and participating. I think guys who, if you miss camp, it's sort of, you're always behind the eight ball, and it's tough to catch up. Usually takes a bit longer than you think.
Do you feel you can kind of open it up, or are you still kind of going through some cautious motions as well?
Yeah, no, we'll open it up as I'm allowed to. Obviously game one's the plan, but we still have 3 weeks till camp's over, basically. So we'll go through the progressions that we're told we have to do, and as we can open it up, we definitely will.
For you personally, how tough was the end of last season going through the injury in the middle of a playoff battle?
Yeah, sucks. Sucks watching when you're losing, especially. You want to be out there and contribute and help as much as you can. Yeah, I think the three games I didn't play, four, one against Dallas, two. I mean, three against Edmonton was, it's not great, but you move on. We have to get better as a group this year, and it starts right now.
When you look 1-6 or even 1-7 or 8 with this defense core, what excites you about the group that you've got assembled today?
Yeah, deep group. A lot of guys back from last year, so we all like each other. We're all good friends off the ice. It goes a long way. And then just getting to know the new guys that are here and sort of integrating them in, and obviously they're going to try different partners out and see what works, and we'll see, move on from there.
Week said that you've been a big part of making him feel welcome in Calgary. What kind of things have you done both here and away from the rink to, you know, help him get accustomed?
It's easy to go out for dinner or go for lunch and just to get to know guys. When I first came here, guys did that to me. So, I mean, it's hard going to a new team, especially from Florida to Calgary. It's going to be a big transition. A lot of things are going to be different. So as a group, we're just trying to welcome the new guys as much as we can and make them feel comfortable. Because, I mean, if you're not comfortable, it's hard to go out on the ice and perform at your best.
Previously, you wouldn't see him very often each season, maybe like twice, whatever. But are there any tendencies in his game that you've noticed through just the two ice times?
Yeah, moves very well, obviously. Passes the puck well. I think that's one of his biggest strengths, is just being able to break the puck out and get the puck up the ice to our skilled forwards. So, I mean, that's what I think we'll be able to do well, and we'll work on that throughout camp.
I guess you played on a lot of different teams, and, you know, I think one of the challenges that a lot of teams face is that, you know, they have sort of set pairings, set groups, and you sort of know what you're going to get when you play those teams. I guess as much as, you know, you never want to have injuries, the fact that, you know, you guys have been able to sort of swap different bodies in and out, different pairings, different lines, you think that makes you a more dangerous team heading into the season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, things are going to happen throughout the year. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are not going to be able to play, and guys have to step up. Guys have to play maybe in a position where they're not comfortable. All that stuff plays into 82 games, and and the goal is to make the playoffs every year. So, I mean, we made it last year. Goals to continue to make the playoffs and become a better team.
There's Chris Tanev, Flames defenseman, who spoke after day two of training camp here at the Dome. Sure does sound like he's going to be ready for the regular season, like he didn't come right out and say that. But he said, yeah, the goal is day one, and he'll do everything that he's allowed and everything that he's been permitted to do. And when he's permitted to do more, he'll do everything he's permitted to do. Everything points towards a day one start. You know what this reminds me a lot of? It reminds me a lot of, with Chris, what we saw last year with Hanifin and Monahan. Hanifin and Monahan both were held out of the vast majority of preseason games, but took part in all of the preseason training camp practices. And then I believe each played the final one or two preseason games last year, and then we're ready to go to start the regular season. It kind of feels like it's trending that same direction with Tanev. He's not physically cleared for everything as of yet, but he's able to go full speed in non-contact training camp practices and gets closer to being ready for full contact preseason regular season games.
Yeah, and that's why I'm kind of not expecting to see him in the inter-squad scrimmage tomorrow, and I don't expect we'll see him in the split squad game against Vancouver on Sunday, and I don't even think we'll see him through to the September 30th exhibition game against the Edmonton Oilers.
I think those first four games, like there's the split squad game and three more this coming week, I think both Kadri and Tanev
and Mangiapane
don't play those games. We don't see them until the last batch of games where the rosters are really whittled down.
Yeah, and there's really no point in trying to rush them back or squeeze them in. It's not like the coaching staff is trying to figure out what they are, who they are, what kind of style they play, who they might mesh with. You're really not going to see those guys in game situation until the calendar flips to October and you start getting into those final three, maybe final four preseason games, just to give them a chance to knock a little bit of rust off before you have another five-day break before you open the season against the Colorado Avalanche on October 13th.
So we know what the top four looks like. I think that we got a pretty good idea that ideally the top four to start the year, Uyghur, Tanev, Hanifin, Anderson. Is that fair? Any disagreement there?
At this point, I don't have any disagreement with you, just because I can't structurally figure out how I would build it differently.
The only thing you could do is swap Hanifin and Uyghur. You could go Uyghur with Anderson and Hanifin with Tanev. But yes, I think those four guys are going to make up your top four pretty clearly, I would think.
I think that's probably a fair bet at this point. And I'd actually even be curious in these split squad games, you know, intra-squad scrimmage and exhibition games, where we see Mackenzie Uyghur, because we know we're not going to see Chris Tanev.
Yeah.
So is there a chance we see Uyghur on the right just to experiment? Is there a chance that we just keep him on the left-hand side from our perspective, seeing how he's going to be deployed on the ice to see how and where he's paired with? So it comes back to your point. Yes, we know who the top four defensemen are likely and almost assuredly going to be. It's a matter of who do we see in the 5-6 spot, and then if we really want to have some fun, the 7 spot, and potentially who's that 8th defenseman first call-up, how all that shakes down. And I really think that that'll be interesting in camp, especially that 7-8.
Well, let's dive in there, because what does that third pairing look like? And the Oliver Shillington situation is it really does make this conversation a whole lot more wide open. I think if Oliver was here and he's dealing with something right now, and I'm not expecting this to be something that we see, you know, I'm not expecting 2-3 days down the road. I think that we can expect Oliver's going to be away here for a little bit. So that situation has opened up the conversation. And by the way, all the best to Oliver and what he's going through right now, and thoughts and prayers, and just hopefully everything ends up okay, and all of that can be rectified in the personal life as well as humanly possible, and then can get back to the secondary thing, which is playing hockey. So by no means are we trying to gloss over that, but with him not being here, I don't know what that third pairing looks like to start the season. If he's not here to start the regular season, is it Nick Molosh and Nikita Zadorov? Maybe. How does Yusso factor into the conversation? He's been a Group 1 participant on a pairing with Michael Stone. How does Connor Mackey factor into the conversation? He's been in the second group of kind of the non-NHL group to the first two games. that's really, I think that third pairing is one of the most wide open conversations at this camp. I don't think anybody other than Zadorov is set there. I think Nikita is in stone to start game one. Who's going to be his partner and who's going to be that seventh guy, as you said? And I honestly, I think they signed Milos for a reason on a one-way deal. They signed him for a reason. They like him. And Yusso and Mackey are still prospects and guys that they still hold out hope for.
And Michael Stone as well.
Stone is absolutely in that conversation.
Now, granted, he's in camp on a PTO, but we've seen him get late season deals for the last three or four, you know, training camps now, so his situation isn't so much a surprise. Though, again, granted, he is still looking for that NHL contract. You're right, Nikita Zadorov, you can cement into that number five spot to me. So the number six, his partner, what are you looking for? Are you looking for somebody that complements Zadorov's playing ability, playing style? Are you looking for, you know, just the guy who just happens to blow the doors off the competition in training camp, regardless of their style, regardless of if they're a left shot or if they're a right shot? What are you looking for if you're the coaching staff? Because to me, it comes down to what works best with Nikita Zadorov, not just trying to shoehorn a defenseman into that number six spot. Because to me, there's Nikita Zadorov, to me, is, I don't want to say a unicorn stylistically, but a guy that big, a guy that skates that well, and a guy who I like to term it as, you see him freelance a lot out there. He almost just does what he does, and a lot of the times it works out, a couple times it doesn't. But if he sees something and he goes, he's to a degree an unpredictable partner. So do you want somebody a little more veteran that can read and react to what his partner is going to do in Nikita Zadorov? I think that's the approach I would take. But then you're also running into situations where with Valimaki, Mackey, well, all these guys are going to require waivers at some point to get to the American Hockey League.
I want to get into that with you next week, you know, because we probably don't have time on this Friday edition. I want to get into that with you next week. If they do have to go, I believe all of those, Milos,
yes,
Valimaki and Mackey all require waivers. How much, I believe, Rizicka requires waivers. But how worried are you? Not this is not even talking about those players specifically. How much of a worry are start of season waivers? That's a conversation for next week, though.
Absolutely. In 15 seconds or less, I think you're concerned about some more than others. But at the same time, there's going to be about 150 players on waivers right before the start of the season.
Exactly. He's Aaron Vickers on Twitter, at AA Vickers. You can get him there for all of your Flames camp information and a whole lot more. And find him on Daily Hive as well. It's Steinberg, Aaron Vickers on this Friday. You can get Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. Go hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.